Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode 614. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Check us out on our website, contextmachine.io. It's sort of like our home.
Sort of.
On the internet.
Very similar. Yeah. And you kind of, you weren't sure about being Jeff.
Well, I mean, is it our home?
It's just the one you were vacation when you house? Were introducing yourself. You sounded kind of unsure. Yeah.
Well, see, the problem is I've been feeling very Brian today.
this is true. You can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on post.news and Mastodon at contextmachine.
And Brian, did you know we have a sponsor today?
Oh, man,
and it's HelloFresh.
Awesome. That is fantastic. We're going to tell you more about HelloFresh later in the show. See how I did that? I repeated the name.
That was very clever.
Yeah, repeated the name.
You repeated the name HelloFresh.
Right. Who is sponsoring this week's episode. And we appreciate that
much.
All right, listen.
I should make a note.
I've got, can I sort of like you know, jackhammer the two, like I've got two topics for us. Can I just sort of like shove them in?
Sure. Keep in mind, I'm being very Brian today, so I may or may not pay attention to what you say.
That is completely fair. The first one, probably kind of a short conversation, but I think I was going to sleep and I suddenly had an idea. Do you remember that show where we talked about we didn't understand why Apple was launching its savings account?
Yes, I do remember that show.
So if you recall, dear listeners, Apple is offering, is it 4.05%? 4.15%? I don't know. It's over 4%.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we could have been bothered to check. But if you were thinking we would do so, you apparently are brand new listeners. Welcome to our show. We appreciate you.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
So Apple is doing this savings account thing. If you enable it, all of your Apple cash back goes directly into the savings account. And if you don't, it just continues to stack up in Apple cash. And then Apple will pay you 4.05%. And I think it's compound. It's compounded daily?
It's compounded daily.
Which is
paid monthly.
Paid monthly, compounded daily. Which is fantastic for us. And this is roughly, give or take a bit, about 10 times more than you're going to get from banks. Although I actually have seen banks offering slightly better rates in the 2 weeks since Apple did this. Go figure.
Yeah, well, now you're paying attention. It's like when you get a blue car.
Yeah.
And then you realize all the cars on the road are blue.
No. I mean, yes, that's a thing. For instance, Stroop waffles. I actually saw Stroop waffles mentioned somewhere. And I only learned that Stroop waffles were a thing, like, I don't know, 2 months ago. So, yeah, it's a thing. You learn something
it's
new.
It's like Stroop waffles. Exactly the same as Stroop waffles.
Or you buy a car or, you know, there's some concept and you see it all. But that's not the case here. Like, banks actually have been raising their rates, but no one's offering that I know of. Same kind of rates that Apple is, I think it's 4.05%. So I had an idea as to why they may have done it.
I would love to hear your idea.
Okay. So I moved like $15. I don't even know how much I have. I mean, if only there was a way for me to check.
Right.
I moved 15.
You should probably go buy an iPhone.
$15 into my savings account just to see how the process was done, plus all the various cashbacks stuff that I was doing. Where is the savings? Where do you actually find savings once you open it? Savings account. There we go. Oh, okay. Current balance, $207. So I moved. There's no way I did that much buying from Apple. Anyway, whatever. $200,
and so you think,
and I got 23 cents in 23 cents in interest, tiny amount, right? This 23 cents in interest at the end of April, and it instantly made me want to earn more. I love passive income.
Sure.
And one way to earn more is to buy stuff on your Apple Card, be it buying from Apple where you're getting 3% back, buying, was it 2% if you're buying online with Apple Pay and your card?
Mm-hmm. And, unless there's a company that's doing a special deal, but yes.
Oh, it's 4.15%, not 0.5%. I was getting that wrong. And then 1%, basically, if you use your card, you know, just like use the physical card out there somewhere. So that is one way to have money shoveled into your savings account. And, you know, you're getting something for doing for buying something. And that's long been a nice little gimmick to get us to spend more. Mm-hmm. And Apple is earning an interest. Apple and Goldman Sachs together are earning much more than 4% on our balances. So this could be a way of simply encouraging us to purchase more on our Apple cards, some of which will not be paid off at the end of the month. There are plenty of people who pay off all their credit cards at the end of the month. And there are plenty of other people who run a balance. If you can, by the way, try not to run a balance on your credit cards because it's insanely expensive to do so. But the reality is that many people do. So I'm wondering if by simply offering us this 4%, they're hoping to increase activity, which will increase balances, which will increase the interest that they're earning.
Sure, that seems plausible. Locking us into the Apple ecosystem, that's part of the strategy for everything Apple does. And
how this further locks us into the system. You said that when we talked about this 2 weeks ago, too.
I think this helps further lock you into the Apple ecosystem. You already have an iPhone. You already have an Apple Card, both of which you need to have a savings account. And now you have the savings account. So if you're going to get rid of your Apple Card or your iPhone, you have to get rid of the savings account, too.
Yeah, I suppose, but that's, I mean, in that you can move it to another savings account. I don't know.
Sure, you can also move to an Android phone.
I think that my idea has more mathematical weight to it. I think this is really about dollars and cents. I think Apple feels like they can make more money by increasing balances than they will pay out in interest.
I'm sure they ran the math, and that's part of it. It doesn't have to be a one or the other thing.
Yeah, it could be a little from column A, a little from column B, as someone used to say. Actually, someone probably still says that.
Well, you just did.
Right. So anyway, that was just an idea I had. We definitely left that topic with, like, we just don't really understand why Apple's doing this. At least I said
no,
that.
No, you did.
Yeah, you keep going on about this whole thing locking. Yeah, I'm not buying into that, man. I'm just not buying into that.
Yeah, well, I accept your apology.
Yeah, it's not there this time. That's my idea.
I do like your idea. And if there wasn't a plan in here for Apple to make money, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is definitely not. It was never anything that was being done out of Apple, the goodness of Apple. Sorry. By the way, my identifying of this and the wording that I've used in no way is intended as any kind of a criticism. I mean, interest rates are up. The Fed raised the prime interest rate up to 8.25% this week after the failure of yet another bank. So that's really cool. Apple can, in fact. Well, except for Apple's not loaning its money. Anyway, whatever.
What bank failed this week? I've been so busy with other stuff that I have fallen behind on current topics?
First Republic. Was that last Friday? Oh. It might have been last Friday. When did, oh. But certainly since we recorded last, which, you know, this week.
Right. Okay.
First Republic failure. Let's see here. When was the date on that? May 1st, which was Monday. Yeah, okay, Monday.
They which sold to JP Morgan. Yeah. Okay.
And this is Friday. This is Friday the 5th when we're recording this.
Right. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Yeah.
That's right. So, celebrating when France had the find out part of F around and find out.
Yeah, it still befuddles me that France was in charge of Mexico for a while. Colonialism
they their was money back.
Weird. Bad also. I might also add bad.
Yeah, bad. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, speaking of delicious food.
Yes.
HelloFresh is sponsoring this week's. Did you know that? HelloFresh is sponsoring this week's episode?
Wait, HelloFresh is sponsoring this week's episode? Yeah,
they are.
That's so exciting.
And here's the thing. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. You get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. It's good, good stuff. And they do more than just delicious dinners. Not only can you take your pick from 40 weekly recipes, you can also choose from over 100 items to round out your order if that's what you're interested in doing. You got snacks, you got easy lunches to desserts, pantry necessities. Everything arrives in one box on a delivery day that you choose.
Yeah.
Super nifty. There's no more scouring the grocery store for that one ingredient to complete your recipe. Everything that you need is in that box. It includes instructions, includes all the ingredients, all the seasonings, salt and pepper, I think, and olive oil. They usually want you to use your own salt and pepper and olive oil. But other than that, everything or whatever oil, might be vegetable oil. I'm getting into the weeds a little bit. However, everything you need is in there. And they have these instructions that are printed up on a card with pictures for each step.
And the recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have done many of these. And I am not the world's best cook. And that's probably being really kind to me. These are easy to follow, easy to do. I've actually learned that's one of the beautiful things about it, Jeff. I don't know about you. I feel like you're a more accomplished cook than I am. And I have learned some things about cooking from HelloFresh.
Yeah, I have learned from HelloFresh as well. It's really cool. I love having the recipe cards, and there are a couple things that I have eaten where I've thought, you know, I want to try making this again later myself.
And you can keep that card and just follow it again.
Yeah, it's so great.
We are happy that they are sponsoring us. And because they are sponsoring us, because you're listening, if you want to try HelloFresh, you can go to HelloFresh.com/TCM16 and use code TCM16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping.
That's a crazy good deal.
Yeah. So holy one crap. More. I'm going to repeat it.
Okay.
Go to HelloFresh.com/TCM16 and use code TCM16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. Right? Good stuff. So that's
awesome.
They're sponsoring us. We would love for you to check them out, and we hope that you actually find them interesting. One of the, you know, I always talk about how great it is that we get such great sponsors on the show.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And HelloFresh is definitely among those, and thank them. We thank them. We sit together.
Dual. We do. We thank them.
We thank them. Okay, here's my other topic. Ready for my other topic? Apple did a conference call yesterday with analysts. Yeah. So they actually, I put the press release here. The press release was like particularly useless.
You know what I found to be more useful?
What's that?
Was Jason Snell's report with all his charts over at Six Colors.
Right.
I'll make sure that we have a link to that.
Perfect.
In the show notes.
So Apple did $94.8 billion in sales in the second quarter. And that's down 3% year over year. And quarterly earnings were per diluted share is $1.52. That's unchanged year over year. However, I should add that GAAP earnings actually beat estimates, which is, in other words, when you start like taking out some things that Wall Street likes to ignore, Wall Street was expecting GAAP earnings to be 9 cents less than Apple actually turned in, which means that Apple actually beat estimates, which is usually a good thing. Now, they talked about in the conference call, they talked about like headwinds, they talked about foreign currency exchange issues, they talked about macroeconomic issues all over the world. In other words, the economy is a little bit, you know, cranky. And making those results pretty outstanding. It's funny, the Seeking Alpha headlines I was getting in my email inbox, which I get some of those every day because I have Apple flagged for them, was just like a whole bunch of FUD. It's been FUD for a while. Like there's someone or someone's over there who are definitely like Apple haters or Apple not understanders is probably.
It's been that way since the beginning of time. And by beginning of time, I mean ever since Apple.
Well, sometimes you'll get positive headlines from Seeking Alpha. And Seeking Alpha content tends to be just written by folk. So, you know, you should always take it with a grain of salt regardless. But the point is, there was all kinds of like, you know, Apple's, you know, iPhone headwinds. And it turns out Apple actually turned in.
Oh, I'm picturing all of these mid-60s men who've never done a hard day's labor in their life sitting with the baby bonnets on and the big diapers, you know, like the old cartoons.
Yeah.
And they're crying and the tears are shooting out like sprinklers from their eyes.
Yeah.
And they're going, wah.
That's
so thanks for that.
You're welcome.
That'll come up in therapy.
That's excellent. Apple turned out to have a record iPhone sales in terms of dollars. They were very careful not to mention numbers. So I'm guessing that numbers were not a record high, but they were March record. And then it was all-time records. Let me see if I get this right here. All-time records. Please report all-time records for services and a March quarter record for iPhone, despite the challenging macroeconomic environment. And, their installed user base is obviously.
This is the quarter that's typically the softest for Apple.
Yeah, the March quarter is every year. Is typically Apple soft. This is best to repeat Jeff almost word for word.
Oh my God, it's almost like you've turned into an LLM.
Excellent. All right, so did you have any other numbers like from Jason's piece or something you wanted to talk about? Because I've got something specific from the conference call.
I want to touch on services just a tiny bit more. So services are up and I mean, that's no surprise. Even in a quarter where hardware sales tend to be lower anyhow, the big thing for me is when I look at the percentage of revenue by category, I mean, iPhone is at 54% right now. Services are at 22%. We are practically at the point of being able to say a quarter of Apple's quarterly revenue is just services. And to me, that's a huge thing. Apple said, a few years ago that they know that that all products have some sort of lifespan, and they're not going to wait for the iPhone to hit its end of lifespan as we know it today, and they're going to be planning ahead and look at what they're doing with services.
Well, they also had specifically said they wanted services to get to $50 billion a year, I think, which they did a long time ago.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, they set a record they could hit. There you go.
And but they have also said, Phil Schiller, when he was still Apple's marketing guy, he had said that that iPhone had, like, they felt the iPhone would be relevant for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was about, I don't know, 8 years ago.
Yeah, so you know they still have a good run going for the iPhone, and by the time it's not the the company's bread and butter, or non-dairy spread, whatever you choose.
Mm-hmm. I see what you did there.
It won't be a big deal because services will be much better. Bigger than it is today, and there'll probably be something else that that they've cooked up that's bringing in a metric truckload of money too.
The goggles, glasses, whatever it's going to be, some kind of VR AR thing, and possibly still the car. I still think the car is in the works. Don't know what form it's going to take, literally and figuratively, but I have. The car's still in the works too. So it is interesting that I bring up cars.
Mm-hmm.
Because do you remember when Tim Cook said on stage, he was being asked about the automobile industry. And mm-hmm. this was when rumors of some kind of Apple car were starting to take off. And he said that I forget which now, three aspects of the automobile industry to be very, very interesting. One was electric vehicles, one was autonomous driving, and one was ride sharing. And he said that the intersection of that space is a very interesting place, or something that he was very interested in, or mm-hmm. an interesting place to be, or something along those lines. This is a very, very close paraphrase.
Yeah, he also said that if you want to really learn a lot about AI, you work on a car. And I'm paraphrasing there as well, but that's what he was saying.
Right. And
did I just take something away from you that you wanted to say?
I don't know. I wasn't even listening to what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hear my mom calling. I got to go.
Hold on before you go. He also said about Apple Watch that when people were asking about wearable computing, because Google was doing its glasses at the time, Google Glass, the mm-hmm. since discontinued product, still befuddles me why they actually discontinued it. I mean, I know why it was a failure at the time, but why not keep iterating on it?
I have a hypothesis on that, and it's Google's company culture. The way that you advance in Google is by coming up with something new. And you don't get ahead by maintaining or adding new or iterating on something that already exists. And that's why you get all these sometimes really great ideas coming out of Google, and then they get dropped. And it's because the person that needed the company juice to get to wherever it is that they wanted to go at that point, they did it. And now there's no incentive for them to continue with whatever project they started.
Yeah, that makes sense. So at this time, Google had its Glass. Google had not yet canceled Glass, and everybody was doing the whole thing that happens every time there's a change is like Apple's behind. You know, Apple's not doing a thing, so therefore they're behind, and, you know, it's going to screw them. But we saw this with freaking netbooks. We saw this with glass. I know we see this with iPhone, with iPad.
New thing is out.
Yeah.
If Apple isn't already doing it, they're behind.
Right. And therefore a failure. And then and then Apple eventually enters the space or changes the space in the case of netbooks. And, that was the case with Watch. So Apple Watch had not yet been announced, and he's being asked about wearable computing, and he said that he didn't feel like the face was the place for wearable computing, and that he found the wrist to be very interesting.
Yeah, as you have said before, Tim Speak.
Cook code. So,
well, to be fair, I only partly listened to you. So the fact that I got Tim Speak out of that says a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. So now, with all that background there, cut to the conference call. 31 minutes and 31 seconds. It might have been 31:30. Shannon Cross, who's Shannon Cross with? Is JP Morgan now? Shannon Cross. Oops.
Yeah. If only we had thought to do research and have all our facts together before the show, then we would actually not be this show.
Well, to be fair, I thought I had this ready. And I don't. She is, there she is on LinkedIn. It's Credit Suisse. That's it. She's with Credit Suisse now. She used to be at Cross Research, but now she's with.
Is it Credit Suisse or Credit Swiss? I've actually never heard the company name said out loud until now.
I've always said Suisse. But that could be me Americanizing the spelling.
Well,
anybody know?
Whatever it is, someone is going to let us know.
Yeah, please do.
And
where can they do that?
Well, they could do it on our social media if they want. So that would be on our Facebook page at Context Machine, at mastodon.cloud, at post, dot whatever post is. They can email us, which I just forgot our email address. It's
contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com, if I remember correctly.
Oh, great. Okay. Contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Well, send something there. See what happens.
I may even have a login saved somewhere. I don't know.
You know, I probably could check one password because it will be in there.
Right, which I'm doing. So anyway, Shannon Cross at 31:30 or 31:31 starts asking about AI. Shannon, by the way, is very well liked at Apple. She's always one of the first analysts that's picked. And this includes going back to when she was not at Credit Suisse and was instead at Simply Cross Research. So meaning that Apple actually respects this woman. And my point is that she said, I've got to find my notes. She said, she starts asking about AI, basically, what are you doing about AI? And Tim's answer was, first of all, he starts tripping over himself in his speed to answer, in his quickness to answer.
Like, this is one of the questions that they want to have someone ask.
Yeah.
But they're not feeding people information to ask it.
Yeah. You know that tapestry thing I do, right?
Yes. You have built some incredible tapestries from a single thread.
Right. I got a thread in front of me, and then I'm going to describe what the tapestry looks like based on this one simple little thread. Now, a lot of times it has to do with girl troubles. But I employ this skill, LOL, in lots of different places.
I'm trying to not laugh. I'm sorry.
This is one of those thread things, because there are times during the conference call when Tim Cook is super upbeat, and whenever he's super upbeat and excited and he's moving stuff along and we're doing this and we're doing that, it's always bad. It's always a quarter that's less than expectations. And when he's stayed and plotting, it's usually because they're turning in a solid quarter. And so most of this conference call, almost all of this conference call, was Tim Cook being stayed, solid, plotting. He's answering everything very slowly and clearly. You know, Tim is probably one of the most methodical speakers in tech. Every word he says has been thought about it before it comes out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all of a sudden he starts speaking really fast and he gives like the boilerplate answer. You know, we don't talk about our roadmaps, but he does it like really fast. And so that's when I perked up. It's like, oh,
like he's trying to just get that bit out of the way.
Yeah. Cause he can't wait to get to that, to the actual answer. And don't get me wrong. He didn't actually give an actual answer. But my notes to myself were he practically tripped over himself in his rush to say that Apple has nothing to announce. Quote, the potential is certainly very interesting, Tim Cook said, about AI. And he also bragged about how machine learning has, Apple's already been weaving machine learning into its entire ecosystem. Obviously, Siri. The two examples that he used, though, did not involve Siri. It was fall detection and crash detection.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know,
so that's interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting because, you know, what Shannon is probably asking about and what all of the, you know, Wall Street analysts who typically don't grok Apple's value proposition in the first place, you know, what they're wanting to know is when Apple's going to have Apple GPT or mm-hmm. Apple's going to have Apple's Midjourney. Or, you know, or Apple E. Oh, Wally. Yeah. Instead of Dolly. God. I mean, yeah. Right? You know, that's what they're asking about is all these front-facing consumer products, the generative AI things. That's what they're wanting to know about because that's what other people are doing. And you know, we have decades now of Wall Street in particular, but also tech pundits focusing on what everybody else is doing and wondering, you know, when Apple is going to do that thing. What's Tony's name?
Tony Sacconucci?
Sacconaghi?
Tony Sacconaghi?
I'm sorry, Tony, I
have bits of his last name in my head, but I didn't have the whole thing.
I think it's Sacconaghi, isn't it? Yeah, Sacconaghi. With Bernstein.
Part of my problem is that when I hear someone start saying his name in my head, I hear in Ken Ray's voice, Tony, because that's the thing Ken does.
Which is fair. He asked once, at least I'm almost positive it was him, but basically he asked once, congratulations on, you know, on your fantastic quarter. Now, when are you going to do things like everybody else does? I mean, that was essentially his question. I mean, like it's just like someone well,
to
who doesn't
be fair. That's his question. Every time
it is usually his question. You know, forever and ever, he would ask, when are you going to license Mac OS or OS X or whatever it was called at the time? You know, mm-hmm. when you're, you know, he would just.
Why aren't you doing clones?
Right. And we're definitely going way back when we're talking about that. So.
Yeah.
So. Tim's example was fall detection and crash detection as places where they are already using machine learning in their ecosystem. And then he said, quote, we view AI as huge and will continue weaving it into our products on a very thoughtful basis. And Shannon did not ask, unfortunately, she did not ask a follow-up question and nobody else came back to it. So.
Okay, why would you not want to know more about that or at least get Tim to say, I'm not going to say anything else.
Yeah. What, how long ago was it? It was some time ago. I don't know, 8 years ago again. That's my time compression. The older I get, time compression does weirder and weirder things to my memories. And, you know, I tend to juxtapose various things into places where they don't belong. But Apple told us at Gruber's event during WWDC 1 year,
mm-hmm.
basically told us that, you know, their whole thing with Siri was getting Siri to understand us so that we didn't have to train ourselves, that we could instead, you know, train Siri.
Which I love that idea. And I'm so looking forward to when
it actually happens.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that Siri has gotten better and better and better at understanding me as we go, but it's still not quite, you're still not going to quite have a conversation with her. And so Apple, you know, has been talking about this stuff to one degree or another for a very long time. Now, of course, again, we have all these consumer facing generative AI products. Ichabod's very excited about it. And, and you know, Apple hasn't done anything there. You know, what did Google do? Google like rushed, you know, ChatGPT was such a success and they rushed out Bard. Right. Wasn't it Bard that was Google's product? And it was just a, you know, it was just a mess on its launch. So they pulled it.
Right.
Rightfully well, so. I mean, they shouldn't have been.
To be fair, ChatGPT, has had its own share of hot mess going on, but yeah.
Yeah, it has. And there are all kinds of issues with generative AI in the first place. I mean, like, for instance, this machine learning is not inventing anything. It's just taking everything that other people have done and remixing it without permission and without accreditation and without compensation. That's a problem.
Right. And a lot of people are conflating using statistical probability to say what the next word ought to be with intelligence. And there's no actual intelligence happening.
Yeah, it's just machine learning. It's pattern matching.
Mm-hmm. It's like super fancy, sophisticated if this then that loops.
Yeah, and I'm choking over here, so do some talking.
Oh, no, I can appreciate that. Anyhow, the whole thing with the different company or analysts being totally fixated on the AI thing right now doesn't surprise me, because they tend to be a reflection of what the general media is interested in. And yeah, so of course they're all about the AI and questioning, like everyone else seems to be doing.
Okay, well, here's my tapestry.
Oh yeah, sure, give me your tapestry.
My tapestry is that Apple has something, and we said that we talked about AI. Again, time compression does weird things to me, but we talked about AI a couple months ago, at least, maybe 3 months ago. And we said at the time that Apple, you know, was no doubt working on something that we hadn't seen, and we probably wouldn't see it until they announced it. And I feel like Tim's answer, his whole very interesting thing, which he has so far only used when Apple eventually, it turns out, has some kind of product either in the works or that it's announcing. I.e. Apple Watch was announced, and we know that Apple is working on a car, whether or not it gets announced. Okay, so him using that phrasing, the potential is certainly very interesting, then talking about the stuff that Apple has already done, and then basically saying we're going to continue to use machine learning in our products on a very thoughtful basis, to me says that there is a specific product that Apple is, in fact, working on and maybe even semi-close or close to unleashing. I mean, it could be next year, could be this year, could be 4 years from now, could be 5 years from now.
Yeah, I'm with you. Apple is working on something, and while I'm assuming a lot of people are thinking it's a single specific product, I think it's actually broader than that. And I think it's a strategy on how they're going to make AI more useful across the board through the Apple product line, which in some way will play into Siri. And we'll just, of course, we'll eventually see what it is that Apple has in mind. But I think it's more than a single product.
But you know what would be really exciting is if it was finally that
Knowledge Navigator?
No. Well, yeah, that would be exciting too. But I actually don't think that's going to come at all. But if it was a true leapfrog of Google Now. Machine learning that basically like keeps track of all our stuff. And
oh, I see. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yes, that would be super cool. And I would be much more inclined to buy into that simply because Apple is very focused on our privacy and
keeping the data on our devices.
Yep. Yep.
Right. You know, I want my example, my go-to example is I want Apple to say, oh, I want, you know, some aspect of my software to say, oh, I see you listen to Love and Rockets. Well, they're coming to the Fox Theater in Oakland on May 21st. Do you want tickets? Yes. Yes, I do. Which, by the way, I have tickets for Love and Rockets on May 21st at the Fox Theater, the glorious Fox Theater in Oakland. Nice. But if I hadn't,
by the way, Brian,
yeah.
There is some irony that you would mention Google Now, because it is yet another one of those products that Google developed and discontinued.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the functionality is in the Google app. But
oh man, Google that was like the one thing I was jealous about.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
And in part because my buddy Grant had exactly that example where he had searched for some metal band, and then like 6 months later, after having searched for this metal band, he got a Google Now alert that metal band was coming to the Bay Area in like 3 months. Like that is useful to me. That is super useful to me.
Oh yeah.
You know, or a book, you know, hey, you know, you were looking up this author, or you read books by this author, or I saw you read interviews by this author, and it turns out they have a new book that's coming out, or that just got announced. Like, I want stuff. I want Apple to connect the dots and then offer me information that I might need. And I want Apple to do that because I know that Apple's going to actually not make me the product in doing so.
Yeah.
So, boy, that would be exciting if that was my tapestry. But there's something coming. There's something coming.
There is. And I would actually love it to be that tapestry. That I would love to hang that on the wall, pull it down and wrap myself up in it, get all cuddly. That's a pretty sweet tapestry you just wove.
Okay, here's why it won't be that, though. Because Apple has Apple Today already. And Apple Today is sort of like Google Now was, sort of. But Apple hasn't made a big deal about it and hasn't really iterated a whole lot on it. If it's been iterated on, it's been very quiet. And I think that something like a real it's so funny that Google canceled that. Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
They did keep some of the functionality.
Yeah. Okay.
In the Google app, but it's not what it was.
So, another thing that Grant made me jealous of at the time was that Google noticed that he was going to go to the card room on a certain day of the week after work, and so it started offering him traffic information that, you know, on that day at that time without him asking for it. That's useful to me. Right. Mm-hmm. Identifying the thing that the user does and then offering some relevant information unasked for. That is very useful. Potentially very useful. I just don't want to be, anyway, again, I don't want to be the product. I have a feeling that if Apple ever does really come out with a service or product like that, that it will be an iterative product that we will see slowly unveiled over time and not just something they spring on us. So I kind of don't think that's the tapestry here. I just would love it if it was.
I'm with you. Whatever it is that Apple does, it's going to be criticized because it's not going to be the whole large language model thing that everyone is all in a tizzy about right now with ChatGPT and Bard.
Yeah.
It's going to be something that has a usefulness on a more personal level. And because it's not a large language model thing, people are going to, the media, general media is going to misunderstand what this is. And they're going to say, oh, Apple missed the mark. They still can't even do AI that hallucinates.
That seems likely. Okay, I hear you. Ichabod saying that we got to go.
It's always good to listen to the office manager.
Yeah, needs must when the devil drives. Hey, yes. Jeff.
Hey, Brian.
That's this week's Context Machine, brother. So if you, not you, Jeff, but our listeners, if our listeners have anything to comment on, add or question, you can write us at contextmachine.io. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. We really appreciate it. The bass was recorded by Dr. Boom just for us. And then this week we had a sponsor, HelloFresh. You can go to HelloFresh.com/TCM16. That's the Context Machine 16. TCM16. And use code TCM16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping.
That's such a crazy deal.
It's a pretty gosh darned good deal. I think that's it for this week. Well, let's hit this last little thingy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Right there. Yeah, it's weird I haven't put like lyrics to that yet. It seems like something I would do.
It does, but I'm just happy that you finally started saying Dr. Boom.